So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter number 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata te ashisha sarva dadami asrapangava martasya te hi amartasya darshanam na apalam mama tatastha ashisha sarva tadamya sarapangava martasya te hyamartasya darshanam napalang mama tatastha ashisha sarva dadamya sarapangava martasya te hyamartasya darshanam napalang mama. Tathasta ashisa sarva tadamya sarapangava martasya tehya martasya chanang napalang mama tatasta ashisa sarva tadamya sarapangava matasya tehya martasya darshanam napalang mama. Ladies, tatastha ashisha sarva tadamya sarapangava martasya tehya martasya darshanam napalang mama tataste ashisa sarva tadamya sarapangava matartaste hyamartasya darshanam napalang mama. Tata, because of this, te unto you ashisa benedictions sarva all dadami I shall give asurapangava O best of the asuras maratasya of one who is destined to die. Te, such as you, he, indeed, amartasya, of one who does not die. Darshanam, the audience, na, not, Apalam, without results. Mama, my. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O best of the asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. Purport. It appears that human beings and asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. The demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Svachya Loka go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily construction at the time of the dissolution. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal or even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerities and penances he had performed for so many years could not give him protection from death. This was foretold by Lord Brahma. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. Tough luck, Hiranyakashipu. All your austerities and penances could not give you immortality. In this material world, they are trying to get that immortality. The scientists are promising. Remember one scientist, he was saying, whatever you do, make sure to take your vitamins and take good care of yourself. Don't get in any accidents, because very soon we will come up with the means to keep you alive eternally. The scientist was promising. So they may promise so many things, but it's simply hope against hope. Prabhupada said, blank check. Post-dated blank check, you see. Post-dated check. And what good their promises will do. Immortality will not be available. It's interesting to note here, though the denizens of the higher planets, specifically mentioned here, Brahma's associates, they go back to the spiritual world in their present bodily construction. That's pretty amazing. Their demigod bodies are transformed into Vaikuntha bodies or Goloka bodies. We find a little more information about this amazing concept in Prabhupada's purport to 1:15:47-48, where this verse mentions how the Pandavas achieve the spiritual world in Goloka in their self-same bodies. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, and this is really amazing. Not only can the demigods do that, but Prabhupada says, by the self-same execution of devotional service, one can attain the supreme spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, without change of body. As we have already discussed in connection with the Lord's returning to his abode without change of body. Now that's pretty amazing. With your present body, Prabhu, you can enter into Golok, Mataji, with your present body, you can enter into Golok. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So should we aspire for that? No. That's not pure devotional service. We should aspire for pure devotional service only and then leave it up to Krishna, you see. I mean, who wants this damn rotting corpse anyway, you know? Bad eyes, ears going deaf, you know, who wants the damn thing, you know? But if Krishna wants to rejuvenate it, just like Dhruva, it's described also in the purport to 419, out of the 412.29 about Dhruva, his body changed into spiritual existence. So if Krishna has a use for the thing, and he wants to spiritualize it, well, that's Krishna's business, you know. If he wants to spiritualize this hard of hearing, you know, aging body, that's it. If he wants to, he can do that, you see. But our position is simply, my dear Lord, I'm your sold-out servant. That's it. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. I just let me always remember that you are my Lord, that Prabhupada, and I'm the follower of Srila Prabhupada. Please let me not forget these things. Who I am, spiritually, that's all. Don't let me forget my identity. Jivara Svarupa Hai Krishnara Nityadas, you see. That's the devotee's only desire. Then Krishna can do any amazing thing, you see. It's described in the first canto how Krishna in Dwarka, there was one very auspicious moment when the sun, the moon, lightning, and rainbow all appeared exactly at the same moment. Now, that's impossible in the material world, the prophet explains. But by the inconceivable potency of Krishna, the impossible becomes possible. So that's pretty exciting, really, when you think about it, you know. Because on the one hand, Krishna Das Kaviraj says this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the whole world. But then the Prabhupada, in one purport, said it's impossible for that to happen. And that really seems quite reasonable that it's impossible. If you look out at LA today, you know, or any city in this material world, it really seems quite reasonable that Prabhupada say it's impossible. But then Prabhupada points out in his purport, in another place, actually in the one about Krishna, in the exact same purport where he talks about the sun, the moon, the lightning, and the rainbow appearing simultaneously, in that purport, Prabhupada says, by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, the impossible becomes possible. So, it's not hopeless after all. I mean, Prabhupada told us right here in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Well, Prabhupada, that's impossible. Did we ever say that to Prabhupada? No, we never said that to Prabhupada. He ordered us to deliver the whole world. You see? There are already examples of gurus giving their disciples impossible instructions. You know that Leela, that illiterate Brahmana in Ranganath temple. You know even that story, you see. Prabhupada told that story here also in Los Angeles many, many years ago, back in 71. That there was one Brahmana, illiterate Brahmana. He was ordered to read Gita by his spiritual master. So every day, he's sitting there. It wasn't a BBT publication in those days. Some kind of manuscript, you know, hand-copied thing. So he's sitting there trying to read it. Everybody, yeah, look at that Brahmin over there. You know, the temple, Gramyakata, about the Brahmin who's trying to read Bhagavad Gita, illiterate. Yeah, yeah, ha-ha-ha-ha, you know. So Lord Chaitanya, he's on that, on his famous pilgrimage of South India. And, you know, Ranganatha, one of his stopovers on his Tirtha Yatra. So he came to Ranganatha temple. And he heard all this in the little village, you know, the temple, Gramyakata, about the Brahmin, the illiterate Brahmin who, you know, is trying to read the Gita, but he can't read, you know. So he approached him. Now just imagine, I mean, just imagine what it would be like. You're sitting there in the temple, and Lord Chaitanya comes walking up to you. I mean, wow, that's got to be pretty amazing. He's beautiful. That's beautiful golden sannyasi walks up to you. So Prabhupada explains, the Brahman, because everybody else was criticizing him, like every single person was making fun of him. But he didn't care because his spiritual master gave him the order. You see. He didn't care if he was calloused to all that criticism. But when Lord Chaitanya approached him, he understood, this person has not come to criticize me. He's not coming to criticize me. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya inquired from me, Brahmana, I have heard that you are illiterate, but yet you are reading Bhagavad Gita. How is that? He said, yes, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me every day I must read 18 chapters. So I'm sitting here with this manuscript, this hand-copied manuscript, and I'm trying to read these words. And Lord Chaitanya said, "But Brahman, I see you're not only reading, but you're crying also. How is that, Brahmana? You're crying. How is that?" He said, "Yes, someone has made an illustration here. They show Krishna driving the chariot for Arjuna. When I see how kind is Krishna, that he's acting as a charioteer of his beloved devotee, I simply cry." So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, "Brahmana, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita." So here is a devotee, you see. He got an impossible order from his spiritual master, but still, I must make that endeavor, because Guru Maharaj has ordered me. And what was the result? He got the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He became a great scholar in spite of his illiteracy. So whatever incompetencies we may have, and certainly we're far more incompetent than that very fortunate Brahmana in Ranganath Temple. We're far more incompetent than he, you see. But if we can learn from his example to be simply, unflinchingly dedicated to the carrying out the order received from our beloved Srila Prabhupada, you see. And there's no limit to what can be achieved but the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Just like I've heard the ecstatic news that last Thursday, Bill Clinton took a book and he celebrated getting this book. I mean, who knows? He's probably, he could be reading it right now and getting enlivened by Prabhupada's teachings and planning to share what he's realized, you see, with other influential people on this planet. I mean, there's just no limit. If we stay dedicated to serving Prabhupada's order, you see, impossible, possible. We don't care about the word impossible. What did Prabhupada say in L.A.? Impossible is a word in the dictionary of a fool. You see? So, go to your dictionaries, Prabhu, and take the word fool and scratch it out. Impossible, I mean. Scratch out the word impossible. You see, otherwise you're a fool. Not literally, I'm just making a point. So it's actually quite awesome, but this greatest acharya in the history of the whole universe is Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa. Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashi Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. What he has done is inconceivable. Even Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, I remember in 1975, he told us he thought that it was impossible to start this movement. But he followed the philosophy of impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. Because he told us this. He said, "My godbrother," he was sent by Guru Maharaj, was preaching in Britain. And he was preaching with one Lord Zetland. Actually, Prabhupada, with his Bengali tongue, he couldn't say Zetland, he said Jetland. He was preaching to Lord Zetland, or Jetland as Prabhupada said. And this Lord Zetland, he had been the governor of Bengal during the British rule. So he was familiar with Vedic culture, you know, there's Brahman, Kshatriya, and like that. So, here he was, a British lord. He made it to the top rung in British society. And now I'm thinking, maybe I can also have a double credentials and be a Brahmana also in Indian society. So he asked Prabhupada's godbrother, "Swamiji, you can make me a Brahman?" And Lord Zetland, he told Lord Zetland, "Yes, if you give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, then I can make you a Brahmin, no problem." Lord Zetland immediately replied, "Impossible." So Prabhupada told us that day in Atlanta, he said, "I was thinking when I come to your country and I tell you no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, you immediately say, 'Swamiji, please go home.'" But Prabhupada said, "Well, I was thinking, let me try." And I was so enlivened, I remember when Prabhupada said that. When Prabhupada said, "Let me try," I was thinking, Prabhupada's trying is what saved us. So I yelled out, Jai, and a whole room, we all went Jai. Everyone realized this is a very appropriate moment to say Jai, because it was Prabhupada's trying that saved us, you see. He thought it was impossible, but still, Guru Maharaj has ordered me, so I must try to introduce this movement here in the Western world, you see. So, this has to be the mood of this mood we have to have, we see. We have to have this mood that I'm going to try to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm going to try to distribute books. I'm going to try to make people Krishna conscious. That's my mission, you see. Each one of us should embrace that as our mission. I must take this order from Prabhupada and take it and embrace it as my life and soul, you see. To deliver the world, you see. Every devotee should embrace this mission. This is our family business. Every family has its business. Just like this kurta, I go in Loy Bazaar to Ganga Prasad and they make my kurta, you see. Their family business is cloth. They have their grandfather's, maybe you've seen their grandfather's pictures there. It's a family business, you see. So what is our family business? Prabhupada said, our family business is acharyas. He told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. Then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1,000,000. And then we will grow to 10,000,000. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. Where are we going to get these acharyas? Are we going to import them from India? R1 visas? Like we import pujaris now in North America? Are we going to import these acharyas? No. We have to be the acharya, the Prabhus and Manajis. We have to be the acharya. That's our duty, to become acharyas. Ideal examples of Krishna consciousness with our every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. And what will be the result? Yad yadatadati shreshtas tatayiva tarojana seyat pramanam kurute lokastadanavartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Of course, he doesn't ever think he's a great man. Anybody who thinks he's a great man, he's a nonsense rascal, you see. We think that we're nonsense rascals. The more we can think we are nonsense rascals, and we simply have to serve the order of Guru and Krishna, to that extent we become great, you see. That extent only. So Krishna says, lokatad anuvartate, the whole world will follow such persons, you see. So Prabhupada said he wants to be, that's our family business, you see. 10,000,000 acharyas, that's, ISKCON means 10,000,000 acharyas in Prabhupada's vision. So let's do it. Everyone, we should all get out of the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, envy, those things that are contaminating us, you see. We should get out of this nonsense mentality. The envy, the lethargy, just, you know, throw it off, you know. And take up pure devotional service, you know. Dive deeply, you know. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Namavet Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Sayam Vibas Puratyadaha. You see. Unless we can actually Krishnize our senses, unless we actually become spiritually situated by becoming spiritually saturated, beginning with our tongues, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami said, you see, then we can never actually realize Krishna. We never realize it, you see. Until we are serious about getting that tongue engaged constantly in Krishna's service by tasting only prasad and by only talking about Krishna, you see, 24 hours a day. No business except prasad and Krishna katha, you see. And we actually become serious about that, then Krishna becomes revealed. That's a fact. Krishna becomes manifest in the heart of those who take his instructions as their very life and soul. Yasya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata goro tasyaite kitikar paka prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those personalities who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So we have to develop that unflinching faith, absolutely unflinching faith. And then by Prabhupada's mercy, by Guru's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, everything becomes understood, everything becomes revealed. I remember one lecture Prabhupada gave in Seattle. It was really amazing how he talked about, there's one verse in the Mundaka Upanishad 1:3. He says, that verse is, Yasmin vyagate sarvamevam vyagatam bhavati. Prabhupada was talking about that shloka. The shloka says that when you understand Krishna, the absolute truth, then you understand everything. And Prabhupada said that means you understand mathematics, you understand history, philosophy, chemistry. He named all these different subject matters from the university, actually. And he said you become the perfect knower of everything when you understand Krishna. So just by this unflinching faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, you see, then one becomes the perfect knower of everything. That's amazing. You don't have to go to the university to become learned. Prabhupada is the ultimate university. You simply cram these purports, Prabhupada said. Cram the purports. Live the purports, you see. Embrace the book Bhagavatam and become person Bhagavatam, you see. That's our mission, each one of us. And then everything becomes known. Nothing becomes unknown to such a person. So we have the greatest opportunity. We have the greatest facility. If we take this awesome, awesome moment in history that we happen to be in right now. This is the most advantageous moment in history, actually, for serving Krishna in a very wonderful, wonderful way. Natash tashman manusheshu kashtin me priya krittamaha bhavita chatame mashvad anya priya tarobhubi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be anyone more dear. We have the greatest opportunity to do wonderful, wonderful, pleasing service to the Lord. The greatest acharya in the history has come, but no other acharya has ever done. He has come and he has planted the seeds of a complete paradigm shift for the whole universe. You see. Away from sense gratification to bhakti, devotion. He has come, he has planted the seeds, and he has deputized us to carry on this mission in his physical absence. So we're in the most auspicious moment to do very pleasing service for the Lord. The most auspicious time. The whole world is out there just waiting to be enlightened with this knowledge. The whole world, you see. The worse it gets, and it's getting worse and worse every day. The environment, the terrorism, the disease. In every single arena, things are becoming more and more deteriorated every day. The economy, I mean, just every single sphere of the material society is falling apart at the seams. Every single sphere, you see. And there's only one person who's qualified to lead, and that's Srila Prabhupada. The only one person who can show the way out of the chaos for the human society and to find happiness and peace. And we're the lucky, lucky persons who somehow got selected by the arrangement of the Lord to serve Prabhupada in this mission. Amazing grace we receive from Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, amazing grace. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, thank you. You've blessed us so much, Srila Prabhupada. How much we are undeserving of this mercy. God, you have blessed us. Prabhupada is actually here now, you know that. It's not just a deity. Prabhupada is present. He's present here. We saw that confirmed in Atlanta. In the Manihati festival, during the kirtan, the noon arti, big and joyful kirtan, the same deity you have here, very nice, beautiful deity. On the right, Prabhupada, from his right eye, tears were coming out from his eye. He was crying in ecstasy with our kirtan. And many devotees observed it, and then the Jayapataka Swami came and he saw it, and he arranged, we stopped everything and just did Gravastakam prayers for Prabhupada. Because we understood Prabhupada was present, and we offered him our Gravastakam prayers. So, we're not alone. Prabhupada is here. The spiritual master is in the hearts also. The disciple who seriously embraces the order of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is in the heart. Prabhupada is in our heart. If we embrace his instructions as our life and soul, then Prabhupada is sitting right there, blessing us, guiding us, inspiring us at every minute. So we have nothing to lament. We have everything to celebrate about. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And now we have the joyful duty to bring the entire world into this gigantic party. We're the most partying people in the whole world. We party 24 hours a day. And so now we want everybody to come and party with us, you see. We don't care if you're a Muslim, a Christian, a meat eater, a sex monger, a rape. It doesn't matter what you are, a mafia, a pious, impious. Doesn't matter what you are, come and sing and dance with us. Let everyone in the whole world come and sing and dance and take prasadam. That is our mission, you see. So in this way, the whole world can become delivered. And we'll be tasting the sweetest bliss at every minute. The fact is that one who enters into this sankirtan consciousness, this compassionate mood of distributing the mercy, he's already tasting the highest bliss. He doesn't need to go back to Godhead to get the bliss. He's already got the bliss. Anybody that's totally in the mood of pushing forward Krishna consciousness movement 24 hours a day, just giving the mercy, giving the mercy, giving the mercy to everybody, you see. That person is as good as in the spiritual world already. So we have to learn this one from Bhaktivinoda Thakura's wonderful prayer, you see. He was praying in the final verse of Kabe Habbe Bodla Se Dinaman. He's saying, when am I going to stop thinking about my own sense gratification and get serious about preaching? Bhaktivinoda is praying that way. When will I forget about my comforts and seriously take up the divine command of Gauranga to spread this message? Kabe Habbe Bodla Se Dinaman. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So we should hanker for that day. As Bhaktivinoda Thakura is teaching us, we should hanker for that day when we're no longer interested in our sense gratification and our only desire is to be fully absorbed without any material attachments in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world to save these poor souls who are completely in ignorance. So, I can ask if there's any questions. And you got to speak up like a radio announcer. I'm pretty deaf these days. Yes? What is your name? Huh? My name? Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Oh.
Thank you. You give a very nice class. Thank you.
Prabhupada's mercy. He designated me the Sankarshan Das by his blessings. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. You quote one verse, Jasmin Vigyate Sarvanevam Vigyatam Bhavati, and you mention in that verse, the explanation of that verse is that one who knows Krishna knows everything.
Yeah.
That was Prabhupada, what he said.
That's how Prabhupada translates it. Yeah.
Right. So then, doesn't know to know everything. What I mean to my question is, it is also said doesn't need to go to the university. So my question is, what will be, since nowadays we have many students or many gurukulis going to the university, and while they go there, if they use everything for Krishna, that doesn't apply to someone who is willing to go with the intention of adding Krishna, right?
If you can help me, I couldn't make it. Yeah. Can they? Huh? No, we don't. Prabhupada even encouraged people who were attending the university to finish. I mean, he was. I mean, there are examples. As I remember, Trivika Maharaj, even Naranjan Maharaj, they were in the university and they finished it. Prabhupada encouraged them to finish it. Ravindra Swarup was working on his PhD. Prabhupada encouraged him to finish it. Now, this doesn't mean academic education can be used in Krishna's service. But without Krishna consciousness, it's nescience, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakura. If you have Krishna consciousness, you can use anything for Krishna. You can use a PhD degree, you can use a political post, you can use anything for Krishna. So we are not artificial renunciates. If I've addressed your question. Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you go to the university with Krishna consciousness, then you can actually, you can separate the wheat from the chaff. You can see what's beneficial from this and what's completely bogus. It's like I took one semester one time when I first went to Austin. I thought, well, here's a chance. They got a Sanskrit department here. I took one semester of Sanskrit at the University of Texas, and you know, I picked up some things I'm using in my preaching. But they also said that all of these Vedic mantras, of, you know, about kings having so many servants, et cetera, it's mythology. So I know, you know, I could see it's completely. They don't know what they're talking about. They have learned a little bit about Sanskrit grammar, but the actual, what's the true meaning of these mantras, they have absolutely no idea. Because I had Krishna consciousness, you see, I could separate what I can use in Krishna's service out of what they're teaching me and what is completely rejected as garbage, you see. So if one has Krishna consciousness, he can go to any situation. He can see what can be used for Krishna and what should be, you know, rejected. Anything else? Everybody satisfied now, ready to head out on a wonderful day of spreading the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. What time does the class normally end? I forgot to ask. 8:30 is the normal cutoff? Okay, I'm right pretty much on the money, then that's good. I was in Atlanta when